Well, good morning. Nice to be here. I've been asked to open up to the book of 2nd Ruth chapter 2. Sorry, not 2nd Ruth, I'm making up books this morning. So, Ruth chapter 2, please. So, if you've been with us for the first part of Ruth, you'll have seen a few things happen in the account of Ruth up to this point. So, we'll just do a quick recap and then we'll go on into chapter 2. So, what we've seen in the account so far in chapter 1 is this family of Elimelech in the land of Bethlehem. And in the land of Bethlehem at that time was a famine. And the family fled the famine and went to the land of Moab. So Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and their two sons. And what we saw is when they fled from the promised land into this pagan, ungodly land of Moab, things didn't go quite as well as they'd anticipated. Things started to go right down the swanee for them. And we see that Elimelech died. The sons of Naomi died as well. So Naomi is left, and she's got her two daughters-in-law. So Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah, widows. The three women, destitute, they're desolate, they don't know what's happening, what's going to happen in their lives, how they're going to be provided for. But what we say is there's 10 years of hardship in that land in Moab, and suddenly they hear this kind of glimmer of hope back in Bethlehem that the famine had been lifted. And Naomi decides to go back to her homeland, to go back to where she was born and bred and raised. And we see that the two women have got a choice, Orpah and Ruth. Orpah decides to stay in Moab and Ruth went with Naomi. So they return back to Bethlehem and we've got Naomi who has become bitter due to the kind of 10 years of hardship that she's endured. She says, call me Mara, I'm a bitter woman, the Lord has dealt harshly with me. And she's got Ruth, this kind of Moabite pagan woman by her side. So they're back in Bethlehem. They don't know what's going to happen. No means of support, no mail to cover them, to protect them, to provide for them. And we come to chapter 2 thinking, how's this going to work out? What's going to happen to these women here? And step in verse 1 of chapter 2, we get an introduction to the hero of our story in Ruth. And in verse 1 it says, there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So we hear this name, should we? This Boaz, we get a glimmer, this is going to be the man that's going to redeem this family. This is a glimmer of hope that's coming into their lives here. But to point out the fact he's of their family, he was of the family of Elimelech. So he had stayed in Bethlehem in Israel when this famine was going on. His relatives, Elimelech and his family, and Naomi, they decided to leave, but Elimelech stayed. And we find he's still here. He didn't die of starvation, he didn't die of hunger. His needs were provided for. And that's given us a wee kind of glimmer here of the choices that we make. We can choose to stay and endure hardships, but with God's strength and with God's spirit within us, to stay there and see things pan out and see God right in a situation, or we can flee. And we've seen that Elimelech and Naomi fled and life didn't go well for them. But this man Boaz, he's a man of great wealth. So the Lord had blessed him for staying, for enduring, for staying rooted where he was and trusting in God. And what we see is when we make choices or when we make a wrong choice, we can't say it was down to my circumstances. It's down to us and the attitude of our heart and the trust and the faith that we have in God at the time as well. But I just want to point out right from the word go, this man, Boaz, his lineage can be traced right back to Perez, the son of Judah. So we see in Ruth that Boaz is our saviour figure. He's our redeemer figure within the book here. And then we think, who is our true Jewish redeemer? And it's obviously Jesus. So when we're reading the book of Ruth, we need to think of Boaz as being this kind of redeemer, Christ-like character. So a man of great wealth, he had lots of money, but it wasn't just his money that gave him the wealth and this great character. As we read on, he was a noble man, he was a caring man, he was a man that followed God, and he had this kind of great, I can imagine this great aura about him, how he dealt with people, spoke to people, and dealt with situations. And we can really think on that and think how we are dealing with things in our own lives. And we'll see how he deals with Ruth in chapter 2. So verse 2 says, Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him whose sight I may find favour. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So again, Ruth and Naomi in this situation, they've got no food, no protection, they don't know what's going to happen to them. But Ruth, the non-bitter one, decides to do something. And I think a lot of times when the hard circumstance, we sit down and we go, ugh. And we sit there and we wallow and we wallow and we moan and we wallow. But Ruth is putting her faith that she can do something. God's with her, she trusts in God, and she's going to do something. And she decides to go out and do something with her own hands, with her own life, that can hopefully help her situation. So she goes out to work. And it was of her own initiative, something that she wanted to do to support her and to support her mother-in-law. So Ruth takes this initiative, but no, Naomi, the bitter one, she's non-optimistic. She's sitting back, right? She's sending the daughter-in-law out thinking, it's hopeless. We're in this circumstance here. How are things going to be righted? I don't know how this is going to right itself. And she can't, I don't think, muster up the energy to do anything. We're not quite sure how old Naomi is. Sorry, how old Ruth is. Naomi is. She's maybe older, she's maybe a bit more infirm, but at the end of the day, we can all do something, can't we? We can put our trust and our faith in God, and we can do something when we're in a difficult circumstance. But what I think is quite clear here is Naomi is feeling totally helpless. She actually doesn't know what to do. And we see that Ruth comes alongside her and puts something into action. And I think when we talk ourselves as being a Christian body, a body of believers, when there's somebody in a situation when they're going, I don't know what to do, and they're feeling helpless, we can be the Ruth that comes up and does something for them and helps that person on. And Paul says that God's going to bless Ruth for her initiative, for getting out and doing something and trusting in God. But if we compare the two people, if we compare Naomi and Ruth, we can think of life. Life can be a grindstone. And I'm sure we've felt as if we've been ground about quite a bit in our own lives at some times. But a grindstone has got two different jobs. It can either grind down or it can polish up. And as we look at these two characters in Ruth chapter 2 here, Ruth and Naomi, the circumstances are starting to polish Ruth's character. But now Naomi's been ground down. She's getting kind of pushed down in life. And it's dependent on their view of God. Ruth has got that faith and trust in God. Naomi's kind of lost it at this stage. She thinks, God, how can you deal with this situation? Whereas Ruth has gone out and doing something and actually putting her faith into practice. So the situation they're finding herself here in is the time of harvest. It's a harvest time. The barley's in the fields ready to be all brought in and collected. And normally male workers would be hired in the fields to cut down all the stalks and things like that. So the males would be in the field cutting the stalks, and females would come behind them and tie all the big bundles into nice kind of groups of grain. But what also happened in that time was people were allowed to follow the workers and follow these women that were tying up the bundles, and anything that had been left behind, dropped or forgotten, these poor people could come behind them and glean all these different bits and bobs that were left in the fields. So this is what Ruth was doing. She was getting out and, we can maybe say scavenging for all these bits and bobs in the field. But it was more of a kind of set structure than that. There was a Levitical law put into place about gleaning in the fields. And we see that in Leviticus 19, verse 9 to 10. And it says, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape from your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. And another wee verse in Deuteronomy 24:19. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back and get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. So there was a law in the land of Israel put into place to look after the poor, look after the poor and the destitute people. And this is what Ruth was tapping into. There was provision made under the law of Moses that the poor would be met, their needs would be met. It wouldn't be abundance, but they'd get enough food to keep themselves alive. Your stomach might grumble a bit, but you wouldn't die of starvation. And what we see is that was the welfare system of that day. And it was good to help the poor, it was good to help the needy. But also the landowners had to obey the law. They had to obey this kind of written instruction here. And as we read chapter 2, what we see is that maybe a lot of landowners maybe didn't do that, or they weren't very kind in letting the gleaners in behind their workers. They'd be treated harshly, they'd be kind of chucked about and maybe even abused physically, or some of the women. There's an instance in chapter 2, there might be a kind of sexual abuse that might happen as well. So that's the situation that Ruth is finding herself in. But what we can see as well is for the poor, for the needy, people that have got nothing, there needs to be some form of welfare system to help them. As we look into our country, you know, there's a benefit system and things like that, which are good and they're right. But also, Ruth didn't just sit back and say, I've got nothing, gimme, 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 I need give. She was actually putting her hands to work as well. And I think we need to get that balance correct as well. It's good that we help people, but people need to help themselves as well. But as we go on, as we actually put our hands to work, God blesses the fact that we're working for him as well. So Ruth received the go-ahead from her mother-in-law to go out into the fields and to do this gleaning work. And as we come to verse 3, it says, she left and went and gleaned in the fields of the reapers. She happened to come to the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. So it just so happened that she came across this field that belonged to Boaz. There's no things that just so happen, because who's in control? Obviously God is. It's a God incident, as we say, not a coincidence. So she came to this field because God was guiding her to that field. And we see that the parts of the jigsaw are starting to meet up here. She's destitute, she's desolate, she's got nothing. But unaware to her, there's this man who's of her family. And they're starting to kind of see each other now. They're starting to have this kind of interaction that's about to take place here. And at this stage, Ruth and Naomi, I don't think, really have a clue about Boaz being their near family member. Naomi, as soon as she hears the name, she might remember, but at this stage, it's not really in their minds at all. And what we see is that God's a step ahead of Ruth and a step ahead of Naomi here. They're thinking, what's going to happen here? But God's saying, I know what's going to happen. I'm bringing these things to pass here. I'm going to join you two up. And there's going to be a good outcome from the situation here. And in our own lives, when we're going through hard times, we think, God, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Can you just do something? But God's already behind the scenes and he's working things out for our good and for our good purposes as well. So Ruth, she'd made the decision to do something to aid her situation, and God was blessing her initiative for that, and he was bringing her into this situation where her and Boaz were to cross paths. So when we are faithful to God, when we are trusting in God, when we step out in faith and just do something, if we're not sure if it's the right thing, we just commit it to God, and God will bless that when we commit it to him, and we ask for his blessing upon the situation. So verse 4 says, now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to his reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? So I believe when we look at this account here, we can see that Boaz was a good boss. Not a lot of them about in this day and age, but he knew his workers. And he would know all the women in his fields as well, the workers and the servants who were maybe part of his household too. He would know them all. He'd that noble character, he'd care for them all and say hello to them all and know about their lives. Or that's the way I view it anyway. So as he's looking across the fields, he looks and he sees this different woman here, this strange woman that he's not seen before. And obviously she's not a native Israelite either, she's from the land of Moab. I don't know, I tried to look into, you know, physical characteristics and things, but she might have had a different appearance as well. And I think that she's probably quite a bit of a looker as well. She'd maybe be quite attractive. You can maybe remember as we looked in chapter 1, the Moabite people, there was an account in the Old Testament of the Moabite women seducing the men of Israel, and there was thousands killed for that, so they couldn't have been howlers to do that. They've got to, I think they were kind of quite attractive. So as Boaz looked across the fields, I'm sure he's seen this woman here, and he thought, oh aye, she looks quite nice. So a kind of match.com moment going on here. In this culture, obviously, we talked about before, a woman would have the covering or the protection of a man. This is why this is so dire for these women. Naomi and Ruth have got no covering. They've got no husband, no brother, no uncle, no male to look after them and to protect them. So as Boaz is looking at you saying, of whose woman is this? Who is the covering for this woman here? And the servant answers him back in verse 6. The servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers amongst the sheaves.' And she came and has continued from morning until now, though she has rested a little in the house." So Boaz is inquiring about this new, different woman in his field here. And he's told of Ruth that she's a hard worker and how polite she was when she came into the field. She asked, "Can I glean here?" She didn't demand her rights and say, "You landlord, I must be allowed to come in here and gather these bits and bobs." She actually approached nicely, politely, with respect and dignity to the kind of chief reapers in the field here. She had a submissive and kindly attitude when she was dealing with people. And likewise, I think in our faith, we've got to think of ourselves coming to God by grace. We don't come to God demanding. We come to him in submission and with this humility of heart and of spirit as well. We talked about, you know, the throne of grace. I can't remember who said this one, coming to the throne of grace. We come to the throne of grace only through grace. That's the only way that we get there. So we've got to that same attitude in our lives that Naomi had here. Sorry, Ruth. I keep on saying that. I keep on getting my Ruth and my Naomi mixed up. So she is coming into the field here. Boaz is asking after her, and the servant's telling Boaz what he has seen Naomi do. And we've got to think of ourselves as Ruth, as Ruth's come into this field, she's being watched. As she's dealing with people, as she's working away, Ruth's life is being watched, and people are kind of checking her car. So, attitude, okay, tick. The way she's dealing with people, tick. How hard is she working? Very good, tick. People are assessing how she's living her life. As we are living our Christian life, as we are doing our Christian walk, people obviously are watching us. How are they sharing about the faith they have in God? Oh, 1 to 10, give you a mark. How are they doing this? How are they doing that? People are constantly watching how we are doing in our lives. Ruth was assessed well. The kind of chief reaper here was able to tell Boaz all about her and how good she was, how hard a worker she was, how she was interacting with people in a good way. I wonder what people say about us as they assess our life. But more than that, God is obviously looking at us and all the things that we are doing as well. And sometimes God gives us those wee tests during the daily, mundane things of life. And I was thinking back to the kind of account of Gideon, as Gideon was getting his army behind him, and God was saying, "No, that's too many cutting your army down. No, that's still too many cutting the army down." And one of the tests to whittle down Gideon's army was a daily, mundane thing. The people had no idea they were being tested. It was like, "Let your men drink water." And the people that kind of stuck their heads down like dogs, they were disqualified. But the people that cut through their hands, God was saying, "I'm going to bless them. They're the people I want." But the men had no idea that they were being tested. They were being kind of wild, seeing what kind of character they were. They were just going about their daily business. And us, as we go about our daily business, how are we dealing with people? How are we dealing with situations? Are we doing it with vigilance, with a good heart, with a genuine kind of faith and trust in God? Or are we not? Ruth was doing things, trusting in God fully, but she was still just doing the things that she needed to do. She needed to glean, to eat and to live, but she was doing it with the right heart, and that shone out loud and clear. As we get to verse 8, it says, "Boaz said to Ruth, 'You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go and glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close to my young women. Let your eyes be in the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn.'" So take yourself to this situation. Ruth has came to the field to glean. She's been polite and things, but it's still a dangerous situation to put herself in. She's unsure of the kind of landlord. She's unsure of all the different workers in the field. So she turns up and she's been careful to be very polite and to do things in the right way. And she sees the kind of chief person and one of the main workers having a confab, and all of a sudden, down strides the big man, the big boss. I wonder in her heart what she's thinking, you know, is this man going to chuck me out of his field? Is this man going to take me and assault me? I wonder what would be going through our heads here. But we know the character of Boaz, and as soon as Boaz interacts with Ruth, it all becomes clear here. He goes on and he says to her, "Will you listen, my daughter?" So straight away his opening words was a term of endearment. It wasn't a what are you doing in my field. Straight away was this term of endearment. He opened up with the correct attitude and the correct words into her life. And he says to her, "Stay close to my young women." So these were Boaz's female workers in the field. Basically telling Ruth, "Stay close to my women and you'll be safe. I'm concerned about your safety and your well-being, so I'm going to ask you to do this because I care about you." So straight away from the word go, Boaz has got this kind of care, this kind of protection over Ruth. And he also says to her, "Do not go and glean in another field." And he commanded his men not to touch her as well. So another two aspects there. Gleaners wouldn't just go to one field. They'd have to go from field to field to field to field to gather enough to keep themselves alive. So be all these different workers, all these different landlords, all these situations where they might be assaulted, abused, treated really badly. And Boaz is saying to her, "No, you stay here. Stay in my field because I will take care of you. And I'm going to command my men to go nowhere near you. The young men might kind of have a wee fancy for you and put, you might be in a dangerous situation there, but my men, I'm going to command them. They'll treat you with respect." So Ruth was told to stay in this place and that she'd be cared for, she'd be protected, that she would be safe. So in this field, Ruth is going to find companionship. She's desolate, she's got no family, the only person she's got to talk to is Naomi. But in the field of Boaz, she's going to have companionship with other women. In this field of Boaz, she's going to have protection as well. The young men have been commanded not to touch her. And even more than that, even more than these kind of protections and things, she's also going to be fulfilled. She's going to be allowed to drink of the water of the young men in the fields. The gleaners would have no right to drink water of the workers or to eat the food of the workers. They had to work all day long and then go home and get water and get food and things like that. They weren't provided for at all. But he says, "If you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from the ones that the young men have." So Ruth would have refreshment, that she would be taken for all her physical needs as well. So what we see here, the kindness of Boaz to this poor gleaner was extreme. It was extreme kindness that he was showing her. What did Ruth have to give back to him? At this stage, she's empty-handed. She's got nothing. So we see the extreme grace that Boaz is pouring into Ruth's life here. And again, we can maybe think and make the parallel in our Christian walk as well. The Lord Jesus has provided us with grace and blessings into our life. And what do we have to give back to him? We'll really come to him empty-handed as well, but God continues to pour into our lives and protect us and care for us and provide for us. And that is the picture that we're seeing with Boaz and Ruth here. And in response to the kindness of Boaz, we see in verse 10 that she falls on her face. It says, "She fell on her face, bowed down to the ground and said to him, 'Why have I found favour in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?'" So she's amazed. She can't understand this kind of extreme grace, this extreme kindness that Boaz is showing to her. Plus she's reminding him, "I'm a Moabite. I'm not of this country. I'm one of those people that you as Israelites don't like because what my ancestors have done." So she can't really understand why Boaz is being so good to her. But her response was to fall down on her face in gratitude. Do we do that? As God blesses us, as we come to his field, as he provides us with grace and blessings and all the good things in our life, how do we respond back to him? Do we say, "Okay, God, thanks, I'll take that. I deserve that because I've done this for you." "Oh, thanks, God, I'll take that. Thanks very much," and we don't thank him. Ruth fell down on her face and couldn't understand how good Boaz was being to her. Do we have the same attitude and the same attitude of heart to do the same? Do we fall on our face before God in thanksgiving and wonder at how good he is to us, at the salvation he's given to us that we've not earned and we can't give him anything back for? We need to be like Ruth in this situation here. We need to have the same sense of wonder and gratitude that she shows to Boaz and not take things for granted. In verse 11 it says, "Boaz answered and said to her,
"It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since your death of your husband, how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before." So we see here the story of Ruth and the story of Naomi has travelled within the town. It's been the kind of talk of the Sweeney, as I might say. Everyone knows about these two women. But even more than that, they have talked about Ruth, and people know the faith in God that Ruth has, her dedication, her loyalty, both to Naomi and to God. It's her faith that's in the mix here that is well known also. And what we see is her character has become public knowledge. Everything that she has done has become public knowledge. And I'm just going to read Proverbs 22, verse 1. It says, "A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold." So in this situation she finds herself in, she has got a good name. People have heard about her, observed her, and she's got this good name, and it's worth more than riches or silver here. And her reputation is her most valuable asset. And before Boaz even approached Ruth, Boaz knew about her. She knew nothing about him, but he knew about her. Again, that picture of God. Before we approach God, when we are pulled to him in salvation, and we get drawn to God through the Holy Spirit, God knows all about us, all our background, all the things we've been through. And here we see that Boaz and Ruth are going to come to this place of being united. In Ruth, we're seeing this kind of perfect combination of somebody who is dedicated, somebody who is loyal, doesn't want to draw attention to herself, doesn't want to blow her own trumpet, you know, look how good I am, look at all the things I'm doing, bless me, bless me. She just has the right heart and goes about and does things in the right way. But what happens when you do that? The good character gets built up and the blessings come. We don't seek them, we don't ask for them, but when we do things with the right heart, with the good attitude and faith in God, God honours that and our character will be built up and God will make sure that blessings come to us for that. So we need to be striving to be like Ruth here. We don't want to blow our own trumpets, we don't do things to get brownie points or things, but God sees and God will honour anything that we do. And we see here that Ruth is finding favour in Boaz's eyes. It might also be the fact that she's starting to find a place in his heart as well, but just now she's got favour in his eyes. And Boaz says in verse 12, "The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to for refuge." So basically it's a prayer over Ruth that Boaz is saying here, "The Lord repay you for all your work." Boaz is praying over Ruth, and he's wanting her to have recompense for all the things that she has done in her life, looking after Naomi, putting her faith and her trust in God. But what he doesn't understand at this point is that he's praying for these things, but he is actually going to be the answer to the prayer that he's just said. He is the answer to his own prayer. And just like when we are dealing with people in our lives, as we are helping people, as we are praying over people, we can be the answer to people's prayers as well. Bear in mind, Ruth was a person that she had faith in God, but she also went and done. How many times do we pray for people, but we don't actually then go and help physically and tangibly also? We can be an answer to people's prayers also. But through all the difficult periods that Ruth has experienced, she's trusting in God. She's got that deep inner conviction that God's got to be with her, that anything that she's going through, God is with her at all times. She looks for safety and refuge under God's wings. And what happens when she's looking for that from God? God is then bringing her to Boaz. He is blessing her for having that heart. And we see the principle here that when we are in that difficult, pressing situation, when we feel helpless and hopeless and don't know what to do, we need to do the same as Ruth here. We need to seek God's safety and God's refuge. We place ourselves under his wings, under his shadow. And as the psalm read this morning, Psalm 91, verse 1 to 4, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." That is the person of Ruth. Ruth is placing herself under the shadow of the Almighty. She is trusting that God is going to be in her situation. She doesn't know how he's going to work, but she puts her faith and her trust that God is going to work. She knows that God is going to spread that wing over her, care for her and protect her. And we see that's Psalm 91 being fulfilled throughout the rest of chapter 2. So as we think about the two ladies in the book, we need to be a Ruth, living by faith and trusting even during times of affliction. But we also need to consider ourselves as being a Boaz as well, listening to and talking to and helping the poor and the needy people in our communities and our lives and our families. Wherever we come across people, we need to be a Boaz to them, pouring into the lives of people. Then we can have a noble name that Boaz had. Boaz was known to be a good character. And Ruth, as we've seen as well, her character went far and wide. People knew all about her as well. So we'll just close just now, but I just want to put that challenge out to you, the Ruth and the Boaz. See how we can become those types of people in our lives. Where do we need to pour into the lives of other people? And where do we need to place ourselves under the shadow of God's wing? Let's close in a word of prayer. We thank you, Father God, that we can come to your holy word this morning, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that we can come to this book of Ruth and we see so many messages for us today. We thank you, Father God, that we can place ourselves under your shadow, under your wing, that you are a protection, that you are the one that can protect us from disease and pestilence and all the things that come against us, Lord. But help us, Father God, to always be graceful and to rely on your grace, to be thankful for all the things that you do in our lives, Lord, to lay ourselves down before you in submission and wonder of heart, Father God. We thank you for salvation that you brought into our lives, Lord. We just thank you for all the good gifts and the good blessings that you give to us. We ask you, Lord God, that even if we're in a difficult place just now, Father God, that like Ruth, we can put our trust and our faith in you. Knowing, Father God, that you're working behind the scenes, Lord, that you are in this situation and that you can bring good out of all things. Help us, Father God, to keep holding on to you, to keep trusting, keep pressing on and pressing on, knowing that you're by our side. Now, like Ruth and like Naomi here, Father God, they don't know what's going to happen. But we see, Father God, as the story continues, that you bring a good outcome. If we are hopeless and helpless just now and today, Father God, we just ask that you give us the help and the strength and encouragement to walk on, Father, knowing that you're going to bring light at the end of that tunnel. We ask you, Lord, to bless your word and just bring it to our remembrance, Lord, when we need those encouragements. We need to take on board the messages from Ruth and Boaz and Naomi here, Father God. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.